It does.
Hello and welcome to the Carbitrage Podcast, episode 313. I'm Eric Berger, joined as always by my co-host Ryan Sininski.
Hello. Hey, that is me.
Hello.
Oh, how are you?
Good.
Very good.
Better than last episode because I'm not thinking about Porsche Macans.
Oh, so God. Can we get rid of them?
Always a bad time when you think about those.
Just people are like, oh, well, you need the Porsche Macan so the 911 can exist. I'm like, no. Once upon a time, yes. Because the company was on the verge of bankruptcy. They currently are not.
No.
So we don't...
They're doing just fine. They're also owned by Volkswagen. So
sorry,
it's like,
not meaning to bring up the Macan again. Screw that. I have a Hams.
I too have a Hams.
Ryan has a Hams. Patreon.com/Carbitrage. On this super cool handcrafted website, you will find three open-ended levels of support starting at just 99 cents a month to help us pay hosting costs and our beer budget. Patreon.com/Carbitrage. And this wouldn't be a Carbitrage episode without... either some digressions and or electric vehicles. So let's start off with electric vehicles and move into digression. I was driving to a bar a few days ago with a coworker of mine that was in town from South Dakota. And on the way to South Minneapolis, I drove past a parked Lucid Air. And although I've seen a few of these driving down on the highway at this point and thought they looked pretty good, I saw one parked and I saw like the full broadside profile of it. And I didn't love it.
Oh, interesting.
So
I really love them.
I love how they look when they're moving, but I've never seen it straight on from the side, and I didn't love it.
Oh, I absolutely did love it.
Okay.
I think the thing is that we had different experiences of it, because you saw it parked. I saw it parked on the side of the road, broadside, and I saw the family get into it, and it was a very like well-off, like older Indian guy who was the owner of a restaurant. And I'm like, that is supremely cool.
That like, did they have the hatch open?
No, it was just him and his wife getting into the car. And it was just really cute seeing like a very like successful like Indian. Like I'd seen the guy in the restaurant, like listen to him like talking. He's like first generation immigrant. And it's like, this dude's like living the American dream.
And it's such an understated status symbol too.
And that's the thing, is like it was a status symbol for like this dude that's like accomplished the American dream.
Yeah.
Like that's why I liked. I'm like, wow, that's actually really cool seeing that this guy made it and like that's this thing. He had like a vanity plate and didn't get a chance to read it, but it was quite good.
And if he already has one, you know he spent a lot of money on it, because up until now, we've only had extremely...
Oh, no, your tab crashed.
That's all right. We've only had the extremely high-end versions, which are dual motor, long range, all this, a very high option spec. But the reason why I'm bringing up the Air, which isn't exactly a new vehicle anymore today, is they do have a base model that they promised when they initially started, you know, shilling this car to us as United States people. The Air Pure. So not the Sapphire, the Pure. It's a rear-wheel drive, 410 cool, quote unquote, EPA mile range vehicle.
Okay.
But like their initial price target for this car was $77,900. When they like, okay, well that's pretty good.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Well, look at what a Macan costs that can't touch that. It's like, okay. Not a Macan, sorry. A Taycan. Emma Marisk, yeah, the Taycan. This would have been actually pretty good value as a luxury EV that's too expensive for anyone except that very successful Indian man to buy.
Yeah.
But they actually... Oh my God,
you got a blue screen again.
This computer has never crashed until today.
No, it's crashed several times.
Nope. This computer has never crashed until today.
Is this a new computer?
No.
We've certainly had issues with it.
No, we've had issues with the old one in the past. But again, the audio is fine. People listen to the audio. It's not a big deal. Anyway, the fact of mentioning the $77,900 price point is they came in $8,000 lower than they anticipated they would. So the base price now is $69,900. Nice. It's not eligible for any tax credits. So keep that in mind.
But still, $69,900 is like a
very impressive base price. That's a big, very luxurious, very well-made car.
It's not, you're not getting like a shit box. I'm not buying a like a full-size Mitsubishi Mirage.
Correct.
I'm buying an actual nice luxury car.
It's a vetted product. It's a known quantity. It's made well. It's all the good parts of old Tesla that left.
It is a better Tesla is what a Lucid is.
Yes.
And that's what I like about them is...
And there's no Musk.
Yeah. Like they're just a better Tesla. And that's just fine. And it doesn't need to be perfect. I mean, it's an EV that it's not something for me, but like I imagine buying a Tesla over that.
Say you're like, the market for a Model S right now.
Why would anybody ever buy a Model S?
They wouldn't. Like,
it doesn't make sense.
No, because you can't get free supercharging on Model S anymore. And that's like the only feature.
Yeah. Now you're just like, buying the name because you didn't do any research.
Correct. Yeah, you're just a has-been wannabe. Ugh.
Yeah, no, you're just a tech bro then. Like, a Lucid is actually a cool car. The thing is, like, the Lucid, the Tesla is like the tech bro that wears Google or Apple Vision
In
public.
Or driving.
Yeah, or driving. And isn't T-Pain, because T-Pain does that. But T-Pain's cool.
Dang it, T-Pain.
But he's really cool. But like, he's also not like the weenie that gives it. Like, it's the sort of person that bought a Segway 25 years ago.
Oh, okay. So like the first gen 1999.
Like the dot-com bubble tech bro on a Segway is now like the Tesla Model S buyer. But the thing is like the Lucid Air is like the tech bro that just loves computers and has a collection of extremely awesome like Altair 8800s and stuff. Like that's the tech bro where it's like he works in a cursed industry. He is very much so of the tech bro thing, but he isn't like the prototypical tech bro. So he's like a more tolerable tech bro.
I'm very impressed that you were able to work in an Altair 8800 reference to an automotive podcast.
I know, right?
I know exactly what that is, but it's...
Okay. I can really work it in.
For those of you listening, the Altair 8800 is like one of the first computers you could have in your home. And it effectively was just a series of logic switches and LEDs.
Yep. You're right, LEDs, because they didn't have green or blue yet.
Right, that's too high tech.
Yeah.
Too high tech.
It was just red LEDs. And yeah, it was logic switches. And eventually, after a lot of tomfuckery, by around the time the Apple One came out, the Altair 8800 had a monitor option.
Whoa.
Yes.
I wonder what that display would even show you.
It ran BASIC.
Okay.
Well, IBM still... BASIC. You'd have to run like a bootleg IBM BASIC because it did not come on the Altair.
Now we're chooching with games.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm about it. Well, that's awesome. I'm totally here for this. I'm really happy to see that Lucid's actually offering a cool EV. Like,
well, honestly, that price point for a new car right now, too. I mean,
it's pretty much that's, you know, a fully loaded Sienna. That's, you know, $70,000 right now is not what $70,000 was when we were kids.
For a family vehicle, it's pretty much median. Yeah. I hate to say it, but if you are going to buy something that isn't like a base bargain basement vehicle for your family right now, you're going to be spending $50,000 to $70,000.
Toyota, I just typed in Toyota Tundra TRD MSRP. Mm-hmm. So Toyota Tundra TRD Pro, it's 77.3. So
that's a half ton pickup.
Yeah.
$77,000.
SR5, which is like the lower trim level.
Yeah, that's base. Yep,
that's 57.7. So this is like kind of right on the money for what most people would be buying.
I am so out of touch.
Yeah, $72,000 is the absolute base price for a TRD Pro.
So I understand that I don't research this very often, but like I was still under the impression that $57,000 would get you a pretty high option spec 1500. Not the case.
Apparently not. Nope.
That's a base now.
Yep.
Okay.
So what's a normal car? Like a Toyota Crown.
Is that a normal car?
It's not. What's a normal? A Venza.
Yeah.
Okay. Toyota Venza MSRP base model is 35, and then 39 for the XLE trim. I wonder what Toyota Venza Limited would be.
Oh my goodness.
Well, again, like that's like, so for reference, like to kind of get you where you are, a Venza's like your normal mom car.
Look up like the base price of a Chevy Traverse.
That's going to be like $20,000.
No,
I'm
no.
sure. Let me look it up.
Okay. Like a 2024 Chevy Traverse LTZ. I'm really curious, actually.
That is 37.
God, that's still so much money.
Imagine buying a Traverse for $37,000 and you get a Venza.
Well, I mean, I don't want either of them, but yes.
Gross. I want a Venza. I actively want a Venza.
Okay.
I get it.
Like, they are eye-catching. I will say, when I see them on the road, I notice them.
It's something else. Like, I didn't get it at first when I first, like, found out that they hold their value, like, insane.
What's the base price of a Macan S?
Let's see.
The vehicle that is ruining the automotive landscape in this country. I want to know what it costs.
The worst car in America can be had for $61,000.
The base on a Macan S is $61,000. So after you put $30,000 worth of options on it to get a radio, because that's what Porsche charges you.
I'm going to see what's the Macan S specs. Like, what kind of horsepower do they make?
Isn't that the 2.9 V6?
So the 2.9 V6 is 434 horsepower, top speed 169 miles an hour. That's fine. 4.3 seconds sport chrono.
Well, the S is definitely a lot less awful than the base, because I think the base is still the 2.0T.
All right, so here's the 2.0, the actual 2.0T.
The
real one, which is 62.5 for the Macan.
I'm sorry, $62,500 for a 2.0T Macan.
Yeah. Porsche people, they can get fleeced with anything. 375 horsepower. I'm sorry. That's not true. That's the twin turbo V6 game.
Yeah,
261 horsepower. Gross.
That in
261
that,
horsepower.
That's
in that.
Not going to last either.
That's awful.
How much boost is that in the 2.0 TSI?
I don't care. I can't be bothered. But you know what the Toyota Venza comes with is the 3.5 V6, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, excellent. The 2GR. Very good.
Also, actually, I might be wrong. Let me double check here. Oh, it's a 2.5 four-cylinder, but
aren't they hybrid?
It's hybrid, yes.
Yeah, yep. So it has the second gen of that little cool electric transaxle in the back.
Yes, it does.
I do like those.
Which is very good, and this is a not bad vehicle. So the absolute like base butt model.
base butt.
Let's see here. You have 219 horsepower. That is reliable 219 horsepower.
And you can run it on regular fuel and it
won't
break.
You can run whatever you want. And that's for the base model. It's 7.6 060, which is fine. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Did we mention that it won't break?
Yes, it doesn't break. But
also, do you know you can get things like a radio included?
Yeah, exactly.
In the price.
Yeah, it's great. This is what I love about the Venza. The Venza is literally just like a Lexus with cloth seats.
Because
it comes with all the Lexus options. It's made... It is vanilla as a flavor for the year 2024. Like, I love that.
This is the third-gen Camry.
Yeah.
In CUV form.
Yes.
Like, this was a car that was engineered, designed, and built to be a Lexus, and then was later ported into Toyota.
Yes. And, like, that's exactly what they did with it. Like, that's...
That's
what I really like about it, because they actually... the Venza wasn't going to exist while they were developing this, because they were developing this, I think, to be the NX. But Venza, like, didn't depreciate ever.
Ah.
Like... They were forever the same price, because it was like, even back then, it was
talking
like
the first gen Venza?
The first gen Venza,
because
first gen, because it had the 3.5 V6, which were very good.
Most of them are the 2AZFE 2.4, but yeah, they did offer the
2GR.
No, the
first gen,
a vast majority of those were sold with a four cylinder, but you could
everyone option, I had was a V6.
Well, that's great. It means the people optioned them correctly, but the first gen Venza was absolutely sold with the 2.4.
Right, full of shit.
Well, you could tell by it, because they had the bumper cutout that had a plug in it on the four-cylinder ones, and then the V6 ones had the
2.7.
Oh, it had the Tundra engine.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, either way, the four-cylinder was the base engine.
Yeah, because the other thing was...
what? Is that the 2TR?
1AR.
1AR.
Yeah, the 1AR FE.
I did not know that.
268 horsepower at the 3.5, though. Jesus Christ. Like, that's...
Can we... We need, like, a 2GR appreciation episode. That's it's such a good engine.
It's such a great engine. It made, like, the lamest vehicles cool.
Yeah.
Like...
Speaking of the...
Toyota Venzas are not... I will die on the hill that they're not bad. Like, they're utterly forgettable. Don't get me wrong.
It's better than the ZDX.
I would take a Venza over several other vehicles.
It's a hatchback. It's not a CUV. It's okay. But...
Yeah, that's so strange that the 2.7 transverse mounted.
Yeah, I did not know that was ever a thing.
Yeah, I just thought every single one I saw had the V6.
Well, I knew there were four cylinder ones, but I would have sworn up and down it was the 2AZ.
Let's just say, like, that's like very slow.
Well,
like,
it's a Camry.
I know, but the Venza's not a Camry. The Venza's like quite big. Like, Venza was a shorter Sienna.
Right, but it's still based on a Camry.
Mm-hmm.
At the time.
I'm not sure what the Venza. I like having the air of mystery with them. Because they're just good. They're better than they needed to be.
I will say, that makes them infinitely cooler.
Yes.
Like, oh, you could have a pickup truck four-cylinder or the godly 2GR.
Yeah, the best engine ever. Yeah.
But like, the 1AR, I think you said it was.
Yeah.
That's
a great engine.
It is. The first time I learned, like, the 90s Tacomas, you could get that engine.
Yeah. That was the four-cylinder in the Tacoma. Yeah.
It was twin cam 16. Like, it made tons of power.
Yes.
Like, you would
they're very good engines.
It didn't really make any sense to buy the 5BZ.
And then they supercharge it for no reason. Well, no, he asked for it to be supercharged. But now I know you can supercharge a Venza.
Anyway, we have that
and
knowledge.
That's brilliant. That I love that. Now I kind of want to find a four-cylinder Venza and put a TRD pre-runner supercharger on it. That'd be great.
Or if you find a V6 one, you can just throw the Edelbrock one on there and call it good. Because then it's an Exiges.
Just stick it out of the hood.
Yeah, it's fine.
That'd be great.
Oh my God.
I'd love to have a supercharged Venza.
Just mopping up in a Jewish Racing gold Venza.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, have that. Talk mad shit about a Macan that hop into my Toyota lesser crossover and destroy them in every level of their existence with a more comfortable ride.
Take it to a PCA track day.
Yeah, I can have a base model Venza and then talk to somebody with a base model Macan and tell them all about my dual zone climate control that they don't have.
Sorry.
It'd be great. I could laugh away with my heated and cooled seats on my base model that they don't have.
Oh, yeah, while they're dealing with pleather that's already cracking.
They're cracked, they're manually adjustable cracked pleather.
Sorry, no, not pleather. Porsche synthetic seat upholstery system.
Yeah.
Pesses.
It costs extra before they just gave you a bar seat. But you couldn't register it in the country with that.
Yeah, you can't actually buy the base model here because it's not legal.
Yeah, no, you can buy it. You just can't register it. You have to spend an extra like $800 to be able to register your Macan. God, I hate Porsche. Anyway, so I want to talk about Stellantis for a minute here.
Okay.
Because Stellantis, actually, their take on Chinese EVs is a breath of fresh air.
Okay.
They said they don't care. Let them come. We'll take them on.
Sure.
Good.
I like the confidence.
No, I love that because previously people like Bob Lutz were like, we don't need that here. We don't need, but that shouldn't come to America. Elon Musk is like, we should not allow Chinese EVs to come to America because like he knows lazy. He makes garbage.
Well, that and they're too lazy to try to adapt around the laws that give them the tax credits, which the Chinese EVs are not eligible for anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, who the fuck cares?
Literally the only issue from the perspective of Musk on Tesla is, yes, to your point, they're making a shitty, stagnant product.
Mm-hmm.
Do better.
Yeah, no, and Elon Musk doesn't want to do better. He doesn't want to be incentivized.
I found the episode title for 313, Do Better.
Yeah, exactly. And because Macan versus the Venza, and then
it's perfect.
Stellantis versus Tesla.
Chinese EVs, yeah.
And Lucid
do
being better than Tesla. Correct. Yeah, just call it doing better. Yeah.
done.
Yeah, this is definitely called doing better.
I like it better when they're organic anyway.
But yeah, this is just like, I'm really happy to hear this. Carlos Tavares is the CEO of Stellantis, and like that's honestly a really refreshing take. I'm a big fan of having a company where instead of trying to make the rules bend around you, you just make a good product. Because like,
have some foresight.
I think what's important about this is that Stellantis isn't like just an American brand. Because like, Mary Barra and Jim Foley or whatever the guy at Ford is called,
who cares?
They care about the American market.
I think it was Foley though. Yeah.
Yeah, they care about the American market, not the world market. Stellantis, we are a drop in the bucket for them.
I was gonna say they own like Renault.
Yeah, like they're not. It is more expensive for them to make a car just for the U.S. market.
Yeah,
because everything that they make for our market, they can make for the Ugandan market. Like
world
it makes
cars.
More sense. Yeah, wow. World cars. That's world cars. As we've seen, are better products because whenever something is made to our market, we're stuck with something that is
garbage.
Just
tragic.
Yeah, you get a Traverse.
Oh.
That's a car that's only made for the American market. That would never sell in Europe. That would never sell in Thailand. But like an EC3 is a crossover, but it's a better crossover. It's smaller. It's more efficient.
Yep.
That's a better crossover. It has an incredible interior.
Look at that interior.
Yes.
Seriously.
That's actually the Outlander.
Whatever.
Interior.
It
anyway.
It's an incredible looking interior.
That's a very good looking interior.
Because we do tangents here, again, I was plowing through my backlog of podcasts on the Curmudgeon Show, and it was hilarious to hear. Not only does Kamisa also say anus.
Yes.
For good. The Urus? Just
it's the anus.
Independently,
it's
we've
anus.
Arrived at that same
it's
conclusion.
Anus. Yes.
But they said the any quality touch point behind the driver's seats in that and the Bentayga are like worse than Camry.
Yeah.
Like, they're awful.
Yeah. I don't get people buying luxury crossovers. Like if you can afford...
The quality's oppressively repugnant.
If you are anything short of a doctor and you can afford a luxury crossover, mm-hmm. should very much so consider what you're purchasing. Are you purchasing... Is your luxury crossover like a Lexus where it's like, yeah, it's a warmed-over Toyota. It's just a little bit too nice to be sold in the American market as a Toyota.
With fabulous rear seats.
Yeah. Or are you getting something that is supposed to be aimed more towards like Bentley? Because like Lexus can scalp some buyers from Bentley, but Lexus is really made to compete with Mercedes.
Right, but we got things like the Crown. No, what am I thinking? Century.
The Century.
To be a high-quality rear seat experience,
That's because the Century is made for the Emperor, not for you.
Billy Bob.
You're not made to... The Century is not designed for you. The Macan is designed for you. The Lamborghini Anus is designed for you. Those are all the absolute cheapest, shitty versions of luxury brands that you can get. Like the worst thing.
But the Bentayga is like a $300,000 vehicle.
Yeah.
And the rear seats are terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Bentley. Why would they make anything good?
Well, we've painted the black plastic chrome. So it's
expensive. Like Bentley has no reason to make a good product because if you want a good Bentley, you'll get the Mulsanne.
Well, that's true.
Like that's
the Brooklyn.
Yeah,
the
like the Bentayga.
It's a real Bentley.
The Bentayga is for somebody that just wants a car that says Bentley on it. And same thing with the Anus.
Yeah,
is that
true.
You just want to say Lamborghini on it?
Yeah, but as long as your Instagram post while you're driving and you have your showy watch and then your Starbucks in the same picture while you're driving. That's what you do with an Anus.
That's literally what it exists for.
Yeah.
It is for
to have Instagram posts.
It's a selfie machine. Yep. That back seat is never, ever meant to be used.
Which, oh God.
That's what I hate the most about these luxury crossovers.
Heavy quotes.
Well, they are luxury brands. They're absolutely fucking phoning it in on their base model. And you're dumb enough to buy it.
But the Bentayga is not a base model. That's like above the Continentals.
Is
it? Yeah, it's a lot more money.
It's the same market, though. Oh. But like the Bentayga is an outlier compared to...
I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, but the Bentayga is meant for, like, you... It's the aspirational thing for somebody in the market for an Anus, is they can get an Anus or a Bentayga.
And to your point, it's designed for you. It is not designed like a Phantom where you're supposed to be in the back.
Yeah. No.
It's designed for you to be in the front seat.
Yeah.
So you can take your selfies. Which I get it. And they know that when they're focus grouping these pieces of shit.
Yeah.
And they're designing them for your front driver's seat for your selfies. Like, oh, why would we spend the money on the back when we could just turn that into profit?
And like the thing is like with like the Porsche Macan is like, yeah, sure, maybe it does have a more plush back seat than a Tiguan. But at the end of the day, mechanically, you have a Tiguan, sir. Or possibly a Tiguan with a bespoke V6, which is not that special.
No, because it's the S4 V6.
Yeah, it's not that
special.
It
is literally the S4 V6.
Yeah, it's not special.
Whatever. I mean,
nothing special.
No, it isn't. It is exactly what was engineered to fit in that slot that was needed for that entire, I don't know, you're not going to call it a global powertrain, but you know what I mean. Like the conglomerate that is Volkswagen Auto Group needed a forced induction engine that would fit this powertrain region in this physical envelope.
Yeah.
And the 3.0T was ancient. So, okay.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they did. But anyway, getting back to our topic
of
Stellantis.
Yes.
I love this quote that you actually landed on, because this is what I was going to point out. And the quote from the boss of Stellantis is, "Whatever the Western world will decide in terms of protections doesn't fix the rest of the world. I will have to face Chinese competitors in Latin America. I will have to face them in Africa, Middle East. I'll have to face them in Asia, which means that my options is only to go head on and fight."
Yep.
Like, abso-fucking-lutely.
Your world car is going to have to fight their world car.
This is literally the best take I've ever, ever heard from anybody that's ever been in any position of leadership at Chrysler.
Yeah.
Because Ford still, like, they can't get their heads out of their asses. Mary Barra is actively just trying to, like, I don't see what her end goal is here. That's not Ford, that's Jim Foley.
No, I was going to say, that's GM.
Ford has their own problems, and within the American
Mary Barra's GM, right?
getting me mixed up right now.
I don't know. I think
she is GM, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And then GM is
Jim Foley?
GM is still actively pretending it's 1985 and they can just close off the US market.
Jim Farley.
Farley,
sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, we should have
close.
Really figured out where to use.
Screw that. Who cares about Ford?
Yeah, but the thing is like this is the best take I've ever heard from particularly Chrysler, because Chrysler previously have been like the biggest screw ups in all of America perpetually for the last 150 years.
Seriously, it's a good product that's
or 120 years. Yeah,
it's the meme with the dude shoving the stick through his own front bicycle wheel.
Yeah, no, that's how they've always been. And it's like I make fun of Chrysler because like they have like problems. Like I love Chrysler, but like I also am aware, like as much as I love Chrysler, like Chrysler is its own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Like they actively will like they will kneecap themselves given it the first opportunity to do so.
But to your point, it's like, finally, maybe, and like I want to be optimistic about this with that quote.
Yeah.
Like, finally, a U.S.-based automaker, which I'm going to say Stellantis still is.
No, they're American. They are.
Finally having, like, awareness of other markets.
And it makes it better for everyone.
It does.
So, yeah, I'm totally here for it. I'm totally here for them taking on the Chinese. And if you want to get a Chinese car, go for it. If your Chinese car decides not to start up because we had a hot war with China, then okay. That's your fucking problem.
Mm-hmm. At least you get to look at your Wuling Mini EV that's marooned in your driveway.
Yeah, great. Cool. Well, now you're going to get fired from your job. And like that's the thing. Like, you're never, ever going to run into a situation where every single person buys a Chinese car.
Right.
Like, that's never, ever, like, and that's, like, even, like, this is, like, tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists. Like, let's say you're mad about that. Like, you're never going to run into an issue like that.
No, because you look through, drive through any rural American population right now.
Yeah.
What isn't a good product, typically? American cars.
What are they
full
of?
What do you see 100% of?
American cars. Yeah.
So, yeah, all you have to do is appeal to the people that are educated, that spend the money on well-informed vehicle decisions that don't just buy emotionally or buy what their parents bought.
Yes.
And
when we say educated, we're not saying like, oh, you live in the sticks, you're uneducated. It's like, no, educated about your product. Like
I'm kind of saying
I'm not, because Huntsville exists.
And where is that?
In Alabama.
Oh, okay.
And that's where the JPL is. NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Okay, fine.
So, like, there are, and also there's a lot of very smart people that live on the sticks, strictly on the sticks. Like, there's a lot of people that live out in the sticks that are educated. They just choose to do that.
He's the one house full of 190Es. I like that place.
Yeah. And it's like, but if you look out in front of his house, the first thing you see is a red Oldsmobile Alero parked in the yard because it came with the house and he doesn't know how to get rid of it. So it's just there. And now,
there are always exceptions,
but, like,
I grant.
But this is the thing, is like, with like Trigg's house and his Alero is like, that like came with the house is, at this point, this is how people find the house. As they look for the red Alero and they turn. Like,
oh, no. Are we regressing pre-MapQuest where you have to go back to landmarks?
Yeah, pretty much. Like,
let's get that on the historic register as a landmark.
The Alero. That'd be really funny. But, like, the thing is, like, you can be educated and just not give a shit about cars.
Absolutely. Like, and that's fine.
Neil deGrasse Tyson drives an Audi A6.
That is difficult to hear.
Yeah. Like, he's genuinely, regardless of what you think about Neil deGrasse Tyson, and as egotistical as he is, because he's very smart and full of himself.
Well,
like,
it's shitty when you're right.
But, like, the thing is like, he still drives a car he didn't do any research on. And that's fine. Like, that's fine. Because he doesn't care. And he's not paid to care. Like,
what's next? A Macan, Neil?
Well, I don't know. It's like, his thing is, he doesn't give a shit. And the thing is like, a Macan's a great car for somebody who doesn't give a shit. And they just ultimately want a Tiguan. And that's what they're going for, is a Tiguan. Like, that's fine. If you want a Tiguan, have a Tiguan. But the thing is that if you're uneducated about your purchase, you're going to end up with some not good vehicle.
And that comes back to the vast majority of most vehicle sales that are perpetuated these days are still very much emotional decisions.
Mm-hmm.
They're not based in fact. They're not based in, wow, that is objectively a better car. Because if it was, you would end up with
Do you know how confused salesmen get when I walk into a dealership and they go, what are you comparing? And I give them my weird list of shit.
They should never ask you that question, because that's...
Well, so when I bought the Fiat, the guy goes, what are you comparing? I'm like, I'm comparing this, a Mitsubishi Mirage, a Toyota Yaris,
yep.
Spec B, and a Suzuki cappuccino. And the guy goes, what?
The man's heard of none of those things.
What are you looking for? I'm like, I'm here for a very good reason. I know what I want, but if this car isn't available, I'll just leave. But those are the cars I'm comparing. And he's like, why? I'm like, well, the Mirage is the cheapest, most responsible thing I can get. It's a cheap, responsible. Like, if I want a new car, this is what I'm going to buy because it's cheap. It makes sense. It's, again, cheap and it's reliable and makes incredible fuel economy.
Yes.
I'll have fun. It fits in my driveway. Okay, the Fiat is obviously the Fiat. The Yaris is the car I want badly, but it is impossible to find.
Correct.
And that's the only reason I'm not able to buy it is because I'm looking for a very, very, very specific Yaris. And
or spec, if you will.
Yeah, like exactly. I'm saying Yaris. There's probably like one left.
Every time I see one of those now, I'm like, wow.
They're very good cars.
They are, but they all got used.
Yeah, good. They should have
used up.
And then the cappuccino is the one that I like the most, but is the least responsible to own.
Also, take the longest to acquire.
Well, I mean, I can find one. I can get
it. But you still have to wait to import it. And all.
Well, I mean, they're here in America
there
at
this
point.
But to get the good deals.
You can get a 10 grand at that time.
Fine.
You can get, like, I think it was like 8 grand for a good cappuccino. And that's about what the Fiat was, like, all in after, like, tax title license and everything. It was like 8 grand. So, like, it was the same price.
Sure. No, I get you. But
it was also, it's like, oh, I can't, like, if something goes wrong, I'm marooned.
For a daily driver, yes.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, if this was my second car, because at that point in time, Jana still had the minivan for her car, which is like, just, we weren't sure how long it was going to last.
That car had a history.
Yeah.
And the sludge, we never really knew.
But yeah, so the, so car sales, I'm like their worst enemy. Anyway, I want to talk about other American vehicles.
Okay.
I want to talk about the Grand National Roadster Show, which is completely a 180 from EVs.
Coworker Ryan went there last year and loved it.
I'm so fucking jealous that I haven't gone. So the Grand National Roadster Show is like the premier hot rod show in the United States. And so this is like, it's smaller than Back to the 50s, but higher quality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's somewhere between like Monterey Car Week and Back to the 50s. But when people make cars, they make cars specifically for the Grand National Roadster Show. So I just wanted to scroll through and kind of like look at what we're doing here. I just think it's like so incredible that this is a style of vehicle that's effectively about 100 years, not 100, it's about an 80-year-old style as we know it today. And it's gone through its trials and tribulations and like of like different changes and updates and stuff. And like the thing is, at the end of the day, throughout like the Eliminator era in like the 80s and 90s, like that black car was an Eliminator style car. But or in like the later Boyd Coddington cars in the 90s and 2000s, which are terrible in every way.
Seams are illegal.
Yeah.
I'm Boyd Coddington.
Exactly. That's actually a really sick, funny car.
Incredible.
But you'd have like all these different styles. Like at the end of the day, a hot rod is a hot rod. This like Winfield equipped, like that's still kind of like an Eliminator-y sort of car.
I mean,
that's effectively an Eliminator car.
Sometimes people don't want to be grouped into that.
That's actually a local car. Fun fact. That's cool. That car's from Minnesota. But anyway,
probably means Tuck did the louvers on it.
Probably. But anyway,
louver Blubsky still.
But yeah, so there's that's a Boyd Coddington.
Oh yeah, look at that grill. Yeah, oh my awful. God. Look at the seats.
That's so bad. We continue scrolling. But here we get back to like speedster style. Pro mod sucks. The thing is, like, hot rodding has been around since forever. And
what
like, that's an old dragster. Yeah, that's how they used to build dragsters. Yeah, you would sit over that axle. The differential would have no cover over it.
A flathead though.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But I've also noticed there's no radiator.
No, you don't need that.
You just have an extremely long hose.
That's fine. Oh, and it's got that little tank thing at the front.
Yep, that's a gas tank.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, very good.
Very, very fine.
But like when you see like these like traditional hot rods, like at the end of the day, hot rodding is still a style. It's been around for 80 years, and it's still something that you can always come back to. I just think that's really cool. That
my coworker and I, the one that went to this show, occasionally, you were aware of our boss, and oftentimes we come up with topics at work that we'd rather not deal with, and then we just look at each other. Can we talk about hot rods again?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Let's talk about hot rods.
Hot rodding is something that
it is. It's different than like this thing is like muscle car is like everybody can have an opinion about a muscle car. I don't think any of the things on the screen are that interesting. That's cool as hell, though. So let's actually stop in this car. Okay. So that Model T, it's this weird one with like a, it's like yellow. It's got like a crazy. Describe what's on the screen.
So you guys have all seen the Whosville.
Yes.
Right? This is a vehicle that would be squang squoozled from the Whosville. Okay. it's been forward gubulated and chang greenulated from the Paintsville. I can't really describe it, but it looks like a really tall mid-journey Model T that's in yellow, and it's been like accidentally forward swept a bit too much. And it has like 70s Formula One rear tires and very large bicycle front wheels.
Yeah, and it's also got a Buick Nailhead.
With velocity stacks.
I'm trying to get... The entire time we were doing that, I was trying to get the name of the car. I'm just having a
basically,
brain
it's a Whosville car. Mm-hmm. And the Grinch would be right at home in that bad boy.
Yeah, and it's like...
The steering column is also forward swept.
Yes, it's forward swept because that's the way it was on a Model T. It went 90 degrees of the floorboard.
Also, they inverted the steering wheel, so it's the hub is actually higher up, so you can impale yourself more easily when you crash it.
So the car is called Uncertainty. Very funny name.
So this
is what's really cool about
I'm all right.
This was a like custom that like just basically like took over the world in like the early 1960s when it was made.
I'm cool.
Because it was one of the first like all fiberglass cars. So it's a fiberglass body on a custom frame with a nail head, and it looks like a Model T. It's got like Model T running gear in it.
Is that transmission output flange just bolted to the rear end?
Actually.
Okay.
Yeah, there's just a little plate that connects them.
It looks like it.
Yep, that's exactly how it works. Because that's why the seating position's so tall. Also, you have to like squat down to look at the windshield.
This is a horrible vehicle.
But anyway, this was found in such condition in a barn after being lost for 50 years.
Good barn.
That's incredible.
Really nice quality barn.
Mm-hmm. Nothing on that was updated.
The seats are in great shape.
Yeah, it's in really good condition. Super sick.
And I bet nail head in it. Fired right up.
I don't think it fired right up because it was parked forever.
Yeah, but the nail head.
Yeah. Nail heads are great, but they're not infallible.
Wow. Hearing that from the world's biggest nail head apologist, I don't know.
Love nail heads, but I will be realistic. But yeah, no, it was missing for like ever. If you Google like uncertain space T, you'll see more photos of like when it was found. But it's just really cool that like this car is a perfect example of how long hot rodding has been around, like more or less unchanged. It's like, yeah, it's just like found in a barn. There's a photo of it in the barn.
It was on jack stands. Nice.
Yeah, like on jack stands right there. That's how it was found, and it was just missing for like ever. And the guy was just like not chronically online, so he had no idea people were looking for it.
Like, no, I still have that.
It's
fine.
Yeah, it's right here. Like, but it had like covers on the Hillborn injection and everything.
Good
like,
God.
That's just super cool. Like, they cleaned up some of the rust in a little bit, but like they didn't make any major changes.
They updated the rear tire setup a little bit.
Yeah, they put on tires that could actually move.
Ah, very good.
But other than that, it was the same wheels, same tire profile. It's just...
That's a great photo.
A cool as hell car that was found in such a way. And so, yeah, I just think that's just really cool that, like, when I say, like, hot rodding has been around for that long, like, this, it had evolved to being this insane in the 60s.
Oh, yeah, I remember the...
And then you have another 60 years of more ridiculous car building.
I was going to say, who was the builder that made like those big pod, like acrylic top, bubble top dragsters?
Oh, there's a lot of them, but you're probably thinking of like Ed Roth.
Yeah, Ed Roth.
Yeah, it was exactly that era. It was like Ed Roth, like George Barris, Gene Winfield, that era.
You can kind of immediately parallel the timeline of psychotropics and this style
actually,
of hot rod.
Actually, fun fact. Yeah. There was a lot of experimenting with those things. And also, tiki bars are in fashion back then.
Well, they're still in fashion as far as I'm concerned.
That would be quite a time to be alive. It's like, let me take my insane hot rod to a tiki bar while I'm on drugs. And then enjoy my tiki bar. And then go build a more ridiculous hot rod.
So this photo from when it was unearthed from the barn, I love that the right side headlight is like tweaked inside of the housing. It doesn't have to be, but it makes it look like it's just blitzed.
Yeah, it's totally insane.
That car is high.
It's a very cool car. I love Uncertainty. So
what a stupid car.
Yeah. No, I love that. Like, that's the thing.
Well, I say that in a good way.
No, it's a dumb, stupid car. Like, stupid cars are good. Like, the worst thing a car could ever be is normal.
Yeah.
I don't want any of that.
I don't want to look at your Traverse.
But yeah, so there's like a lot of things that were, this is very
I like
good.
That.
Yeah. Impala. Yeah.
Wow.
There's like a whatever, like Pro Mod, like Charger. I don't care about that. But there's at the Grand National Roadster Show, there's a most beautiful roadster in the most beautiful roadster in the country award, which goes to roadsters that were made just for the show in the last year.
Okay.
And so there's always a car that wins that. And yeah, it's like an old belly tank from a jet from like a Korean War era, like F-84 or something. So that's how belly tank racers came from. Very cool. They would jettison the tanks, and if you ever like found one of the tanks, cool, build a car out of it. You can't put it on an airplane anymore.
You know, it doesn't make a great dragster.
It makes a perfect dragster, because you know what it's made to do?
Be aerodynamic?
Yes, go like at the edge of Mach 1. Yeah.
Very fine.
So it's so cool seeing like this entire history of vehicles all at the same time. And some of them like suck, yeah, sure. But like there was a time when everything sucked. There was a time when the cool thing to have with a BMW was a E36 with everything shaved and molded. And it has to be yellow.
Oh, yeah.
With a matching
chrome 20-inch wheels, yeah. Underglow.
Yeah. Like, I personally love that style, but like I get it.
What's the name of that style? Like the Ollie G style.
It's like, there's actually a term for that.
If you don't know, it's okay, but
I'm blanking on it. But right. I know in the Honda world, or in this like sport compact world, what's sport compact tuning?
Yeah.
But in the sport compact
the
world, in that
it.
Same era, yeah. Is called GT style.
Okay.
Because it was designed to look like touring cars. It's a modified car that looks like a touring car.
They were all super wide, but I could, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It would look like a touring car.
Link
back
your
then.
Batteries. Me was trying to save time. Anyone that has not seen the film Ollie G and the House, go watch it.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Just embrace that style.
Yes, it's so good. But anyway. Yeah. I just think that this is such a cool show. I always love bringing it up. I need to go at some point.
Ryan highly recommended it. So
yeah. And if you want to see, if you Google American Touring Championship Honda Accord, that'll tell you where touring style came from. Like that era. In
oh, yeah.
The mid-90s.
That's like BTCC stuff.
So in the mid-90s, we actually had, this isn't the American one, but this is a British version.
It's an
but
Accord
yeah, that's,
car.
That's the style. That's yep. What it's based off of is touring car style. Yeah, GT style. That's what it was called back in the era. Now we just call it racy.
But instead of a roll cage and center locks and big brakes.
Well, no, you'd have a roll
TVs.
Cage. You'd have a roll cage.
More
and TVs. With TVs around it. And your roll cage would be formed around your TV.
Do you have 8-inch tube? Why? Well, I have a 7-inch TV, and so I need.
I've got a CRT. I've got a 7-inch CRT, and it needs to fit within the roll cage.
This TV says wall dock on the back. Yeah, don't worry about it.
It doesn't need to be worried about. Anyway, moving on.
All right, what's next? Oh, baby. All right, so on to some good news here when it comes to EVs, although, God, I hope this turns out to be good news. The first North American-bound Fiat 500e second gens have rolled off the production line in Turin, Italy.
I am so here for it, and I really wish I had the income to buy one brand new.
They'll be here before the end of Q1 of this year.
I'm so excited. I'm gonna take a photo of the very first one I see and be very excited.
It's gonna be really great. And I really hope
so
that
hyped.
The first inklings we've seen online is like they're not eligible for the credit, but like it sounds like a third party that Stellantis sponsors will still give you the $7,500 tax credit. So if so, the $34,000 base price isn't so bad because that'll turn it into a $25,000 to $27,000 car, which is pretty good.
I think if it's $27,000, you should buy it as a replacement for your Tesla.
For the ZHP, you mean?
Or for the Tesla, because the Tesla just, I hate
free,
Teslas.
Free charging is really good, though.
I really hate Teslas.
I use that a lot.
That's true.
Oh,
that's
I do,
point.
Too. But anyway, I will.
That car's going to have nothing. It's going to be a rolling frame with everything broken on it. Mm-hmm. But you're still going to be like taxing Tesla
oh,
for that.
Oh, I'm
going to
be. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. There are. It tracks your charging stats by day in the app. And like some days where it's like 250 kilowatt hours. I'm like, yeah, that's right.
Good.
You
take
think
that,
you
Tesla.
Think I won't sit at your charger for 5 hours today? Yeah,
I absolutely
think wrong.
Will.
You underestimate my cheapness, sir. But I am about the second gen 500. I just really hope, and I say this from a place of love, Fiat, you need to not let your product wither on the vine, and you need to be competitive, and you need to advertise it.
So, okay? The thing is, when Fiat withered on the vine, this pre-Solantis. That was when you had... Oh, Mike. After Sergio Marchione died, that jackass from Jeep that took over, that's the guy that let Fiat die on the vine. Because Fiat was originally Sergio Marchione's kind of like love child.
Yep.
And the guy after him was just like a Jeep blowhard. And so now it's Stellantis. And so it's actually a functioning person that knows how to breathe oxygen.
Well, we just saw the quote from this company.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to take on Chinese.
They're not
going
to let this die on the vine. They're going to make a great vehicle.
Because it looks like
for it.
It's a fantastic car. And I love it very much. And all the reviews we've seen so far in the European one are fantastic.
I've literally not seen a single bad review.
No, because it's a great car.
Actually, even Darren, I was talking to him yesterday, and he was like, yeah, no, if you go to Europe, this is the car that people drive are Fiat 500s. They're everywhere. The way, a Toyota Corolla is in Afghanistan, where quite literally every single person drives a Toyota Corolla, that's how it is in Europe with Fiats.
And perceptions vary from the same vehicle country to country, too, but, everyone loves a 500.
Yeah. It's a great, perfect vehicle. It's a perfect small car.
And largely under the skin, it's the same mechanically as the first gen, but they've largely updated the interior. They've doubled the battery capacity.
Great. That's actually, I don't care about anything other than the battery capacity.
DC fast charging is also a thing which you would care about.
Cool. Actually, no, that's great. I did not know that is now an option as well.
80% in 35 minutes. So perfect. For a modern EV, that's pretty bad. However, the battery's so small, that's really good.
Actually, also, 80% in 35 minutes, there is a fast charger at the Target across University Avenue from my house, and there is a Jersey Mike's there. I can go there, I can get lunch, sit in my Fiat, eat, and charge my car, and still be back in time to still fuck around at home.
That one doesn't have magic docks yet, but it will soon.
Yep, it won't be too long.
Nope, won't
so be that's
long.
Fine.
Anyway.
I'm here for it.
Yay.
Great.
Yay, 500s. Good. Yay.
That's absolutely wonderful news.
It's finally happening.
Should we? Oh, good. You did add your.
I did. All right. At the
so
end,
I'm going to add one final quick story before we get to Scott's thing.
well, it won't be the full recap, but yes.
Yes, it won't be the full recap. VinFast, America's most trustworthy and reliable brand.
Sorry. Hold on. Whoa. VinFast, I recognize in that sentence. What was the rest of that?
This is under duress. VinFast, America's most trustworthy and reliable brand, reports a...
Coming into the side of your frame.
$24 billion loss in 2023.
Sorry, 24?
20, or sorry, not 24, 2.4.
Oh, okay.
But still,
oh,
I'm sorry.
That's nothing.
Hang on 1 second. $2.4 billion loss.
With a B.
1 second here. So, GDP of Trinidad and Tobago, 2023. This is 1/10 the entire GDP of Trinidad and Tobago, which is a tax haven.
Ah.
So that's an insane loss.
Oh.
I
see. Okay.
Okay, so let's do the Uganda. GDP of Uganda is actually bigger. Fuck. All right.
Look at all these countries doing well, damn it.
Sri Lanka. How is Sri Lanka's GDP that high? what's the weirdest? Uruguay.
I'm trying to think of obscure, South African.
Here we go.
Principalities.
Yeah, actually, Trinidad and Tobago is the closest thing we get. Whatever. Anyway, it's an insane amount of money that they lost. $2.4 billion is not any...
One company in 1 year
lost
1/10 of a country's entire domestic product.
Yes. And so, that's the thing, is that's an insane loss. That's a drop in the bucket for Vin Group. As a whole.
They still look pretty happy on this image.
Because look at him. He's selling a car in America. Of course he is. This is the thing. I need you to scroll because I need to remember to see him. Stop. Famnat Vong, who is the driving force behind VinFast, he's kind of the guy who's spearheading this is his fashion project.
Okay.
They took a big fat L this year, but it's because they're expanding into the country. I'm not betting against them. Apart from my Vin Group minder out of frame glaring at me. My actual words are that I'm not betting against them. Like, I still have full faith that VinFast will be able to pull this
off. And some light investments in them.
I am absolutely not going to bet against them. I do still hold one share of their stock. Just because it's a long shot, but
if that's not a show of faith, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's all, I think it was like $7 or something. I don't know. But it's the thing is that I genuinely think once they get their shit together that they're going to be able to, like, actually do very well in this country because they're going to be able to make a cheap EV. Like, you know, you're just talking about China. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They're also not Chinese.
And they're here now.
And so, like, that's the thing is, like, you can have a car. If a car's just not the bad guy, if it's bad guy, you know, adjacent, it's not the same as a bad as a thing. So, like, if you have a European car, if you have, like,
I like bad guy adjacent.
Yeah, if you have a MG, like, if you're trying to sell an MG to somebody in the 1960s,
yeah,
you have a better time selling an MG than you would a BMW. Because a lot of people in America.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Okay.
Because if we looked at, like, how MGs were selling in the 60s versus BMW.
Well, BMW wasn't really a thing here until the late 60s. So I guess they had the
700, and it was an abysmal failure.
Well, they had the Neue Klasse, which did technically come here. But yeah, until the E10, BMW really didn't exist here.
Exactly. And, like, even then, like, the E10 took a while to catch on.
Sure did. You don't hear about the 1600, and so
the thing is, like, because a lot of people in our market were still operating under that mindset of, oh, Germany's the bad guy because of World War II.
Which, yeah.
And, like, we're effectively in, like, a quasi-Cold War with China, like, from trade war and everything, and just two completely different spheres of influence that are pushing against each other in Eastern Asia. Like, it's very similar to being, like, with the Soviet Union or how we were with Germany. And so VinFast, they can still make a cheap product. Because it's still being made in Southeast Asia, where labor's a lot cheaper.
Well, and we don't have the same, we'll call them trade barriers with Vietnam as we do with China.
Exactly
even
that.
Even though the VinFast is
You have the huge trade Chinese. Barrier as well. You have the huge trade barrier. You have the mindset of people. If people say, oh, Vietnamese car, that's fine. Mm-hmm. If you say Chinese car, oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, you flip over your widget. It doesn't say made in Vietnam anymore. It says made in China.
Yeah, and like that, and that's the thing. Is like when you see something that's Vietnamese, you're happier to see that, even though it doesn't. It ultimately does not matter. They're still going to be very similar vehicles.
It doesn't, but from what I've seen, the Vietnamese culture is much more my thing.
I
like that.
I like other cultures in general. Sure. I've never been to Vietnam
looks
or
like
China.
A fabulous place.
They both look like fabulous places.
They do. I'd love to go to Shenzhen.
Yeah, and I would love to go to Nha Trang and go to the Vin Pearl Resort where they have the Eiffel Towers going to the island.
I just love that image we showed probably a year ago at this point of, like, the bridge
going
into Vin
City.
I'm like,
it's so good.
I would be, like, worried about going in there just to make sure that I could get out.
No, I mean, I'm sure you'll be able to get out because you're American. Just don't say anything bad about Vingroup and just have a smile on your face all the time. It's fine.
Well, we could just do, like, the Macan thing where we go in the cheap Turo 2.0 T with all the regalia on, but we could do it legitimately with VinFast
Group. I'd be very happy about that. Like, but no, like, in all honesty, I do actually want to go to Vietnam.
We got to get the silk suit and everything, too.
Yeah, I genuinely want to get a suit. Like, the Top Gear special where they went to Vietnam, like, that genuinely, like, that was a huge tourism. Like, because, like, for me, I'm like, that looks cool as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually genuinely want to go to Vietnam now, like... And now, like, a ironic thing, like, I actually, everything I see about Vietnam is the coolest thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds great.
A friend of mine just went, his wife is from, her entire family's from Vietnam, natively, so he had to go visit family there, but the photos I saw from this trip, got to go visit, actually.
Yeah, amazing. Sounds great.
And, like, it was like, here's an fertilized duck egg.
Very cool.
I'm like, oh, it looks gross, but he's like, it was really good. Like,
oh, yeah, it's in the Philippines, yeah, it's called balut. I've not ever tried it.
I'm not sure if I could.
No.
Just the visuals.
But a friend, Ice, she says it's the greatest thing in the world. She eats them by the handful. Like, she literally, if left her own devices, will eat balut every day. It's her favorite food.
Again?
By far.
Johnny tried it. He said it was good, so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Props. Anyway, sorry, I would love to go to Vietnam. Vietnam looks
If you look at the other link that I have here, which is the unaudited fourth quarter report of VinFast.
This guy?
Yes. This is the unaudited report.
Which, scroll down. That's really what you want to hear, yeah, right?
But still, they're noting, like, fourth quarter revenue is $4.37 billion, which is a 26%
increase. It's up 26%, though.
It's 133 year over year. Full year revenue was $1.2 billion.
Why would they show $1,198 million when
because
they could do
Because you're comparing the revenue.
Oh, okay.
It, instead of switching, it's like saying meters.
This is why I'm...
Millimeters, like 1,000 millimeters instead of a meter. It makes more sense that way.
Well, 1,000 millimeters versus 1 foot, that's kind of how I'd like to do my reports.
So Madam Thu Yi, who's the chairwoman of the board of directors, incredible name. I love that they added Madam.
Thu Yi?
Yeah, but Madam instead Madam. Of Miss. I love that.
It's a required prefix. But if just you, if choose you, from this dropdown.
If you scroll back up, this stop here. These are their EV deliveries and their e-scooter deliveries, because you don't remember the fact that this is why, one of the reasons why I'm not betting against them. They are huge on e-scooters in Vietnam, and they don't bring those here yet.
Okay.
And if they start bringing e-scooters here, it's game over. Like, Kymco will never, ever be able to keep up with them.
You got GY6, now we got VF6.
Yeah, they're deal with it. Like a VinFast e-scooter would sell like hotcakes here.
VinFast, I'm just going to go ahead and say this because I know you're watching. Please make a modern Vespa electric conversion and sell it to me. Thank you.
Well, they make entire, like, very cheap to work on, easy to maintain e-scooters.
Well, I don't want that, but I want a Vespa kit.
Well, that's the thing, is what I'm saying is they make very easy to work on e-scooters. That can just bolt into other things.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
weird,
like,
how these hard points are all exactly the same as the Vespa.
Kind of funny about that.
Strange. Like,
so that's the thing is...
The Vinspa.
If you look at... Oh, perfect. That's just Q3 and Q4. Is they've sold 72,000 e-scooters and 34,000 EVs.
So EVs are down, but scooters are up.
EVs are still growing.
Right.
But they're selling more than 2-to-1 scooters versus EVs.
Right, but I'm just looking at the delta. Yeah. Like, the scooter's actually coming up, and, like, no shit, EVs are down, because they are everywhere.
Yeah, and it's also a way bigger purchase.
Correct.
So,
well, and they're cheap for EVs, but they're still,
I think if VinFast could get away from their creepy corporate thing that they're doing, like, if they could actually have, like, just somebody that understands the U.S. market, there's plenty of first and second generation Vietnamese immigrants in the United States mm-hmm. that would be happy to work with Vingroup. And be able to help them understand the U.S. market a little bit better.
Come here. Let's have a chat.
You cannot be a dystopian, like, megapoli. That, like,
but then they'll say, why?
Yeah, but the thing is you just need to show them, let's look at all of this IP from every piece of sci-fi that's been made in the United States since the 1950s. Like, you have... CGP, you have Kuroshi Optics, you have Satoshi from Cyberpunk, you have Cyberdyne Systems from Terminator, you have the HAL 9000, you have so many examples of dystopian corporate things that you can be that. You just need to have a smiley face and let people talk shit about you.
You need your Miles Dyson.
Yes, you need a Miles Dyson. You need to be like Mom's Robots from Futurama. You just need to be able to... Yeah, exactly. Boom. Yeah. Anyway, so, Eric,
I wasn't going to cut it short, man.
You weren't. But it's like in Futurama, like Mom's Robots.
Yes, Mom's Friendly Robot
Company. Mom's Friendly Robot Company. Mm-hmm. They're still a horrible company.
Oh, awful.
But Mom is lovable. And you know what else is a horrible company? Is KFC. But Colonel Sanders is lovable. Maybe they need a mascot.
Well, hold on. How does Amazon work? Because Bezos isn't adorable.
Yeah, but they have a smiley face on their logo.
Oh, yeah. That's disarming.
Yeah, it's disarming. They just need something disarming. And they have, fuck. Yeah, they don't have anything.
So turn the V into a smile. And
oh,
then...
yeah. Or just have like a happy panda or something.
All they need to do is borrow Daihatsu's marketing team for like 20 minutes.
Literally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all you need to do.
That's all they have to do. Get Daihatsu drunk at a party and just write it down. And VinFast, you're going to be in good shape, okay?
So the national animal of Vietnam is the water buffalo, which isn't a really good sales technique. I don't know, but I'm sure there's somebody that will work in marketing that'll make VinFast more lovable.
Again, Daihatsu got this covered.
Yeah.
Okay? You just give them like a all-inclusive resort pass for like 10 days to Vietnam. They will dissect your culture.
If I could absolutely get Vietnamese delivery on a VF8, I would buy one.
Oh,
that would be
you
so
mean like
good.
European delivery, but for
yes,
Vietnam?
Yes, but you go to the Vinpearl Resort. Would be so good.
It would almost be worth the 50% depreciation from the time it lands on our shore.
Yeah, absolutely. By the time you sign that, it just like depreciate immediately. But also the thing is like VinFast, they've been actively like I showed you that donut video
yep.
where it's, they tried
fixed.
Very hard to fix most things. Yeah. Like everything they could, they went as far as to revalve all of the suspension. Like that's pretty cool.
Well, again, so. Like at the time we talked about like Kia was doing that 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that long ago.
I'm not betting against them. Anyway,
all right,
let's move on. I want to talk about bad companies that are bad.
I want to talk about companies we are betting
terrible.
Against.
V-Dub in the house. Again, a company is just marketing. Volkswagen is a terrible company, and they just need different marketing.
They do, but they also need to do better. So we will talk more about the ID4 lawsuit. I will prompt
are we
you guys
do
just
that
a little
another
bit.
Episode?
We will, because... Okay.
We need a whole episode.
I'm not exactly sure if there's going to be a we can't talk about it clause for Scott if there is an offer or a settlement. And if so, I need him to dump everything into Discord so it happens before that so I can read it off. But anyway, right now the lawsuit against VW is hotting up on the ID4. And right now it's either going to be a jury trial,
ooh,
which is it's scheduled already.
Oh, for Scott's.
Mm-hmm. Scott's ID4, where he's suing and will win against Volkswagen because they're a terrible company, and the judge sounds pissed at Volkswagen, which is great. Or there will be a very sizable settlement that covers six-figure lawyer bills on both sides and Scott's $70,000 to
$80,000
go-away money. Anyway, so the ID4 is still a piece of garbage, and that's going away. However, Scott still has his order in for the buzz, and that's actually sounding like it's going to be this year.
Very
so,
good.
Good.
I don't trust that.
I don't either, but like the fact that this man is still actively first on the list for a Volkswagen product and he's suing the company over his first Volkswagen product, kind of funny to me.
Also, very good in court because it shows that it's
you
not
hate
in...
Volkswagen. Not only no. do I not, I'm still first on the list. I actively pursued and put money down for this product that I very much want.
Yeah. And you've not sent it to me yet. Yeah.
Anyway, the ID7 was originally the product code for the Buzz. Now, apparently, the ID7 is a wagon, which...
That's actually very good looking.
I don't mind that. It's
no
going
faith.
To... And I think I even put in here, I'm like, maybe I will get my first lemon suit.
No,
because, unfortunately, I was reading through
that weird
this article.
Wuling thing from China? I will trust that before I trust this thing.
The Wuling won't break, at least in a catastrophic way, where I will die, and this probably
the
will.
The Wuling will just break in a way that you don't get onto the road in the first place.
Correct. It will just fail in the morning.
Yeah, no, this is one of those things where it will fail in a way that it tries to kill you.
Exactly. Yes.
Yep.
This will something really bad will catch on fire or stop, or the axle will jam, the steering rack will fail to work as you're going around a sweeping corner or something like that. But I have to cover this because it's an EV wagon, and you know that's what I'm looking for for my next car. So we're not going to get this. We're going to get the sedan version of the ID7.
That's not good.
Why?
That's bad in every way.
Because Volkswagen's terrible?
Because the Porsche Macan exists, and more people are buying Porsche Macans than there are Buick Tour X's.
Yeah.
Because Americans need the big, tall view of the road and whatever the
commanding
fuck.
View of the road I like sitting up high. Those are the things I hear all the time, and it just makes me want a seppuku. But honestly...
it is... It's big enough to handle their cargo needs and small enough to not be obnoxious.
What this means, though, is since this is VAG, we might get this as like an A4 wagon.
I don't really want
an Audi either, but like if
I don't want anything VAG.
If I can get a rear-wheel drive or all-wheel drive wagon EV, I might still buy that because it's better than a Tesla.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see you repeat that.
It's like saying it's better than being on fire. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Although it might also be on fire.
I'm getting stabbed, but at least I'm not on fire.
Yeah. At least I'm not stabbed and shot. Huh? Right? That's better.
I guess that is technically, following the title of this episode, doing better.
Volkswagen definitely needs to do better. But It's a wagon. It's an EV. It's going to be terrible. I come back every single time, and I hope this is admissible in the lawsuit, but, like, Carbitrage, in fact, I think it was even Motor Cult, like, Volkswagen will find a way to fuck this up. Your exact words when we mentioned EVs were coming to this country.
No, I have no faith that they won't find a way to fuck this up. Yep. Like, I do not trust this company in the slightest.
Did you see Tucker's post? He had a friend with some sort of Volkswagen. The rear wiper motor assembly has the washer piped through it.
Yeah, they do that, yeah.
And it's conductive fluid, and that failed, and it caught on fire. And if this person wasn't proactive, it would have burned the vehicle to the ground.
Why is that not a lawsuit?
It will be soon.
Good. I just don't understand.
What a terrible company.
How do people buy Volkswagen still?
It's German engineered, Ryan.
It doesn't make sense to me. Like, they make cool cars, but it's like they have such a track record of making shit on every... Like, not just like... Everybody has their stinkers. Don't get me wrong. Honda's the J-Series V6 transmission issues and the bottom end issues. Subaru has every engine they've ever made. Like, Toyota's had water pump failure on specifically early 2000s Camrys. That's the only time I can think of.
BMW's
Toyota.
Had V8s.
It's the only time I think of Toyota having a catastrophic failure.
Mercedes had water-based paint.
Yeah, but like... These are
Hyundai
all,
hasn't made a cylinder liner that works yet.
Hyundai had the issue where the chrome would delaminate and lacerate your hand. Like,
I forgot that was a thing. That was a while ago.
That's the thing, is they'll occasionally have that, but Volkswagen still lives in this like 1960s world where it's like you can just make a car that kills people and it's fine. And it's like, I have no faith in this company. I never fucking will. Mm-hmm. And I'm tired of talking to people. Like, this is like one of the things I hate most about car people is like they think that their favorite brand is utterly infallible.
No, every brand sucks.
No, like I love Honda, I love Toyota, I love Mazda. They all can make a big stinker. Mazda had cars that filled themselves with spiders.
Oh yes, I remember that.
Like every company is capable of sucking. However, of all of these companies, the one company that has made everything it touches objectively worse in every way is Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
At no point has Volkswagen made anything fucking better. They only make things worse every day. Every Volkswagen is worse than the Volkswagen before it, and every car it was made by a subsidiary of Volkswagen was made worse for it.
Yep.
I'll take an unreliable Lamborghini over a functioning Lamborghini that's made by Volkswagen, because at least I know my unreliable Lamborghini will be interesting, cool, and unique.
And mechanically, let's be real, it will last longer.
I don't know about that. Colombo V12s or whatever they're Bizzarini V12s are not bastions of reliability. But
they're pretty good as long as they don't
spit carburetor
gas out onto them.
I will take bad lighting on fire Lamborghini over like boring...
The Audi V8 one?
Yeah, Audi V8 ones. Like, it's just... But the thing is that like Lamborghini is a side, but it's like that's such like, an edge case. But the thing is, like, Volkswagen people always find that weird fucking edge case.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they go, well, don't think about the 2.8 V6 or the 3.0 V6 or the 2.7T or the 2.0T or the other 2.0T or the third 2.0T
or the second-gen 4.2.
Or the second-gen 4.2 or the second-generation or the first-generation 4.2 or the second-generation 1.8T.
Or the 1.4 twin charge.
Think about the ABA and think about the 1.8T, the original 1.8T and the air-cooled. But don't think about the water boxer. Like
the 2.5-liter engine.
They will do so much fucking mental gymnastics and not think about every single stinker that Volkswagen makes out of, like, it is more than just a couple of cars.
Oh, that's every time I mention all BMW V8s are bad. Like, what about the S62? I'm like...
They make one that's okay.
Great.
It's not yours.
Well, that's the only one I own, but yes.
Yeah, but the other person that you're talking to is guaranteed that.
The M62 TU that's rattling apart in front of you isn't or, that.
Well, the first Gen 4.2 isn't that. Like, it's not that bad. You shouldn't be aiming for that bad. That doesn't make a company good. That makes a company not good.
The Belt Drive 4.2 is the least bad Audi V8.
A front-wheel drive...
Doesn't make it a good engine.
A front-wheel drive 3800 isn't that bad. That isn't something to write home about. If the greatest engine that Volkswagen made was a front-wheel drive 3800, that would be a terrible, terrible brand.
What if it's the Routan?
Well, that's what I mean. It's like another stinker. Like, it's just...
But probably the most longevitous front-wheel drive powertrain platform they've ever put in a vehicle.
Yeah, probably. And everything else around the car is broken because both Volkswagen shops and Chrysler shops don't want to deal with it.
Right, like we don't even know what to
do. Nobody wants to deal with a Routan, but it'll run forever.
If you order a Crouton, you need a parts vehicle.
I fucking hate Volkswagen so much.
It's a terrible company. That car, first 1,000 miles, it will have 5 recalls, guaranteed. And one of them is probably going to be catastrophic.
I keep meeting people that have good, like just good ownership experiences with Volkswagens, and I don't get it. Like,
I don't either. I have a friend that likes her Tiguan.
Has she not driven another vehicle?
I don't think so.
Has she... Does she just, like, ignore maintenance?
She clearly can't, because it's working.
I just don't... is it, working in such a way where it's, it turns on, but the check engine light's on all the time?
I would have to imagine.
Does she just,
so.
Is it, Subaru working?
I think she's just working around problems
it's
that are there.
It's Subaru working.
I think so.
Where it's, yeah. It does technically run and drive, I guess.
It has to be that, and I think it's, inner city driving, too, where it's, it takes a while to get enough miles on the odometer to actually... manifest.
She's owned it for 8 years and it still has 50,000 miles on it.
Bingo.
That's it. Yeah. So that's probably it. That's has to be what it is. Cause I don't know anybody. That's cause everybody's it's great. Yeah. Within warranty. What happens when the warranty's up? I don't know. I guess I don't keep cars that long.
That's
anyway, on this terrible,
yay.
On this terrible, terrible ending.
Macans suck. Volkswagen
hang
sucks.
On, hang on. I, for one, welcome VinFast.
Okay.
Cause they have to be better than that.